My dear Lord, the King in charge of the heavenly kingdom is also desirous to obtain the ultimate goal of life, devotional service. Similarly, you are the ultimate destination of those who identify themselves with you, Aham Brahmasmi. However, it is very difficult for them to attain you, whereas a devotee can very easily attain your lordship. We'd like to welcome Lord Shiva again, who has so kindly appeared, and hopefully he's not doing Tandavanita to destroy everything. Hopefully he's dancing in kirtan to the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And at least for 1 hour, he'll be instructing us in devotional service by his prayers. So at the beginning of his prayers, he described the Chaturvyuha, Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha, as well as the Sun God, Agni, Moon God, Universal Form, Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan. And then, last time we heard the form about the form that devotees want to see most. Most desired form, most beloved form of the Lord. And that is Lord Krishna, Govinda, lover of the gopis. Sarva Sandharya, beauty, personified. Does anybody remember anything about Krishna's beauty that we heard of as described by Lord Shiva the last time? Sunasam, Subhruvam, Sukopalam. Yes. Adipurush. How his dear devotees see him. We're going to see, yes. Yes. His lotus feet are like two petals of a lotus in the autumn season. Yes.
His nails like shining.
The nails of his toenails, yes, were shining before you. Yes, thank you. Yes, the shining from the effulgence of his toenails, knowledge is received. That's how he enlightens us within the heart, Parvati.
His beauty
defeats
beauty of gold testing stone.
Okay, the Srivatsa actually on his chest defeats the beauty of the gold testing stone. Yes, Prashant. Yes. Yes, Hasita Panga, sidelong glances and smiles on his devotees. And when he smiles, he creates desires for his devotional service, and he maintains and protects the desires that devotees already have. So he was compared to a black rain cloud also. It showers. It's yes. Yes, from the top, from his smiling face down to his lotus feet. It's quite opposite of most of the descriptions we find in Srimad Bhagavatam. Yes. Yes, his feet and calves are symmetrical. Thighs and joints are beautiful. Yes, he doesn't get old like we do and our joints start sticking out. Yes.
When Krishna glances with affection, it means his Lord's affection.
And right.
By his glance, he creates new desires for devotional service to him.
Right, when he glances with passion, then this is affection. And he creates desires for his devotional service. So after hearing how beautiful Lord Krishna is, then we must gain a desire to attain him. So now in the next verse, Lord Shiva will explain the essence of knowledge, how to attain beautiful Krishna. This is what is we will hear today, the glories of devotional service to Lord Krishna. I was noticing that Lord Shiva's prayers are a little bit similar to Bhagavad Gita, that in the beginning you hear more practical things about this world, Sankarshan, and then in the middle we have bhakti. We have Lord Krishna and bhakti. And then at the end, we're going to come back again to the material Krishna's power and also how to understand his power in this world. So it reminded me a little bit of the structure of Bhagavad Gita. Anyway, this verse is about Indra. So many people want to go to Swarga or go to Indraloka, but Indra himself is desiring devotional service to Lord Krishna. So the jnanis, they come to the point of understanding themselves as aham brahmasmi, as it says here in this verse, But Krishna, the beautiful Krishna, actually eludes them. Very, very difficult for them to capture Krishna. So why is it, but here it says a devotee can very easily attain your lordship. So why is it easy for devotees and difficult for the jnanis? What's the problem for them and what makes it easy, Sankirtan?
Krishna reciprocates.
Yes, Madhavendra Puri. Yeah, Shoto Ganas Tamaranam Bhajavasudevam. Does anybody recognize that?
The waves of sanctification are not easily overcome by the Kenis.
Yes.
The
so this is four, this is a verse you're supposed to memorize. 4:22:29 is it? 39. Okay, this is the verse you're supposed to memorize. Yet Pada Pankaja Palasa Vilasa Bhaktya. This is very easy for the devotees because they worship the toes of the lotus feet of the Lord in devotional service. Yes.
Also, the mind of devotees, they can overcome.
Yes. Because their mind is. Right. So, any more verses in Sanskrit to support this, what is being said here? Vedeshu Durlabham? Adurlabham Avabhakta, Brahma Samhita. And then the next verse, that other verse that comes after, Yetu Sarvani Karmani, 6 and 7. This is Bhagavad Gita 12, between 3 to 7. It compares, it shows how difficult it is for the jnanis and very easy for the devotees because Krishna just picks them up from the ocean of birth and death. So these are the points. There is also another verse in Bhagavatam, 5th canto, first chapter, verse 17. I'll sing it for you. It's an interesting verse. And it's also in line with what we've been hearing from Virja Prabhu about the mind. Vayam pramatasya valeshapisya yatasa haste sahasatsapatna chitendya syakmarate putasya priyashama kem nukarotya vatyam. This is 5:1:17. The word pramata is there in reference to the mind. As we've been hearing day after day, how the mind is pramata or pramada. And the verse is, even if he goes from forest to forest, one who is not self-controlled must always fear material bondage because he's living with six co-wives, the mind and knowledge-acquiring senses. Even householder life, however, cannot harm a self-satisfied, learned man who has conquered his senses. So a devotee who is a householder is even greater than a jnani who is not a devotee of Lord Krishna. This is what the verse says. It's spoken by, I think, Rishabhdev. This is in the fifth canto, first, or it may be by Shukadev Goswami. This is in the beginning of the fifth canto. No, Rishabhdev hasn't appeared yet. He hasn't appeared in the first chapter. So Narottam Das Thakur says, whether you're situated in the forest or at home, if you're engaged in devotional service of Lord Chaitanya, you're a liberated person. So, and also Prabhupada also talks about people coming to Vrindavan just simply to chant and not engage in devotional, in active devotional service, that they may spend some time chanting, but then when they come out, when they finish their japa, they come out and smoke bidis. So Prabhupada used to live in Vrindavan and he would notice this. So when we first came to Vrindavan, he warned us not to associate with Babaji's. So there is another very nice verse which is helpful for us. This is Madhya Lila, first verse in the first chapter of Madhya Lila by Krishnadas Kaviraj. Yasya pasarara kyopi sadya sarva gyatam vaje sashi chitanya devo me bhagavan sambhasidhichu. Even a person with no knowledge can immediately acquire all knowledge simply by the benediction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, I am praying to the Lord for his causeless mercy upon me. So these verses today are glorifying the wonderful potency of devotional service. And we'll also hear how to get devotional service towards the end of these verses. In verse 55, more describing quality of devotional service. Tam jara ratya maritya satam apidurapaya ikanta bhakta kovanche paramulam vinamati. My dear Lord, pure devotional service is even difficult for liberated persons to discharge. Devotional service alone can satisfy you. Who will take to other processes of self-realization if he's actually serious about the perfection of life? So I, just now reading this verse, it struck me that this last question by Srila Prabhupada makes me think of another question, that why do people take to other processes of self-realization? Why is it that they take to jnana, yoga, karma? Yeah. Okay, one reason is it's just too difficult. Devotional service. Yes, Madhavan Puri? Yeah, maybe they're not serious about perfection of life. If he's actually serious about perfection of life, then he'll take to devotional service. They want something else, actually. Yes?
Yeah, broad-minded.
They are not?
Broad-minded.
Mahatma. Mahatma, yes.
That the most difficult thing is to surrender and accept someone superior to us. So this false ego is the main block.
The false ego is the main block. It's very difficult to surrender. And the other processes, you don't have to surrender so much. As in, of course, in yoga you have to surrender, and jnana if you actually want success. But bhakti requires to surrender your independence. And it seems that you get nothing in return, nothing material, not what the karmis desire. You don't get these things. You don't get with the jnanis. You don't get with the yogis. So what do you get if you surrender to Krishna? You get Krishna. Yes, you get Krishna, which is the possessor of all of these things. So purport, about three lines down. It is emphasized herein that only one who is outside devotional service would not engage in searching for the lotus feet of the Lord. Foolish people sometimes maintain that God may be attained in any way, either by karma yoga, jnana yoga, dhyana yoga, etc. So that's jatamat tatapa. But here it is clearly stated, it is impossible to obtain the mercy of the Lord by any means but bhakti yoga. The word dararadhya is especially significant. It is very difficult to attain the lotus feet of the Lord by any method other than bhakti yoga. So what in Nectar of Devotion describes six qualities of devotional service? Which one is being described here in this verse? What's that? Sudurlabha. Sudurlabha. Rare. It's very rare. What did you say? Sudurlabha. Very rare. He can give mukti easily, but he cannot give devotional service. Very, very rare. So Lord Shiva is glorifying the qualities of devotional service. These first two verses, also the last verse also, describes the rarity of devotional service. Even Indra is desiring it. That means he must not have it. If Indra desires it, means he wants it. He also wants pure devotional service. He has devotional service, undoubtedly, but he doesn't have pure devotional service, it seems. Indra, in the verse before, says even Indra, verse 54, even Indra desires pure devotional service. So he wants it. Now there's an interesting verse in the 10th canto, 88th chapter, verse 11. And again, in the Sanskrit there, you find the word dura radhyam, very difficult. No, actually, you don't find that word. But anyway, the verse is similar. 10:88-11, Krishna says, because I'm difficult to worship, people generally avoid me and instead worship other deities who are quickly satisfied. So here's another reason why people avoid Krishna. They don't. In India, we know that even they're afraid. Not only they avoid Krishna, they're afraid of Krishna. He might take everything away. When people receive kingly opulences from these deities, they become arrogant, intoxicated with pride, and neglectful of their duties. They dare to offend even the demigods who have bestowed benedictions upon them. So this is in reference to Vrikasura offending Lord Shiva. So Krishna, in this verse, he's described dura radhyam, very difficult to worship. and also Dharapaya, very difficult to attain. But it can become easy. There's another word, Durvigayam, and this is found in verse 6-4, 27 to 28. So it becomes easy if we follow the prescribed method, Srila Prabhupada says, and that is Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam, hearing and chanting. So Prabhupada, in the purport to that verse, describes that there are sometimes so many impediments, obstacles, that come to devotional service. So how can we go beyond these obstacles or get around them, or what do we do when these obstacles come? What? Take shelter of devotees. Yes. Marangopa. Repent and lament. We have learned from Brijan Prabhu. First step, repent and lament. Yes.
Pray to the Lord.
Pray. Help. Pray to the Lord. Pray to the devotees. We need help. And so Srila Prabhupada says that these impediments, the way to see the impediments is that they're Krishna's energy. Krishna's energy is working. And then Prabhupada says, easily making his way through these impediments, a devotee comes directly in contact with the Lord. So this is described in this purport 6-4, 27 to 28. So sometimes we see that the worst things that happen to us is actually the best thing that happened in our spiritual life. Does anybody have that experience where something really, oh, this is terrible? Yeah, Prashanta had that experience. And anybody else? Yeah, Bhagavan had that. And materially, you had that, Adi Purush, yeah. The worst thing that could happen, but it's really good for your spiritual life. I remember when I was in Vrindavan, when I first came to Vrindavan, and then Sridhar Maharaj came out to me and said, "Oh, so unfortunate, your husband left you, and this and that." I said, "Yeah, but actually, I'm thinking it's good because now I came to Vrindavan. So this is very good. This is actually mercy. Otherwise, I would have been rotting somewhere in Goa, where I was. I would have been rotting there, and now I got a chance to come to Vrindavan." So the things that you think, when it happens, you think, "Oh, how can this happen to me? Why is this happening?" But then, when you see, if you see the hand of Krishna behind it, and you accept the hand of Krishna, then it can become very nice. Because I was there in Goa, and I had a nice arrangement for the first time in my life. Because in ISKCON, I was always in very austere conditions, in India especially. Either sharing a room with 10 other women, or else 10 other grihastas, sharing a flat with, 20 children, and so many people. Like, this was grihasta ashram in India. And then finally I got my own house. And I, wow, this is really nice. When I was living in the temple, it was so austere. And then my husband left, and still I was, it was a very nice situation. But then after 3 months, I heard Krishna's voice came, "Go to Vrindavan." Actually, he said, "Go to Mayapur," but Mayapur didn't work out. And then, "Go to Vrindavan." So then I said, "Oh, no, I have to give up all this for one. I have to go back to the austere conditions again." So anyway, I made a deal with Krishna. I said, "Okay, I'll go to Vrindavan, but you have to take care of me." Because I know if I say no, then he'll force me to go anyway. So better I say yes and make a deal. He'll force me to go, it'll be much worse. But anyway, yeah, and it happened. And came to Vrindavan, and no problem. I'm living in nice houses, not my houses, but somehow or other Krishna's providing. So it's good to say yes to Krishna. And it's not good to make deals with Krishna. And now I'm a little bit better, a little bit more, not so much more advanced, a little bit more. Anyway, not yet to the point of saying, "Okay, whatever you want." As Bridge says, "Okay, Krishna, whatever you want, I accept." No, anyway, we have to come to the point of full surrender to Krishna. So let's see, 56. Yatra nirvishtamaranam kritanta napi mandite vishvam vidvang visayang viraya shaya visvur chita bhava. Translation, verse 56. Simply by expansion of his eyebrows, invincible time personified can immediately vanquish the entire universe. However, formidable time does not approach the devotee who has taken complete shelter at your Lord's feet. Interesting. So how do eyebrows relate to time? What's the relationship? The glance, yes. It's part, yes, I approve.
If someone is angry, he frowns.
And his eyebrows go up. You see Lord Shingadeva's eyebrows, they're up and arched. Yes. Time makes everyone afraid. Yes, so his eyebrows. And it's interesting because the eyebrows are expanding here. But there's two different effects of the eyebrows. One is he's destroyed. He raises his eyebrows and all the non-devotees are destroyed. And he raises his eyebrows and the devotees are very happy and they get his glance of mercy. So this is two things. Formidable time does not approach the devotee who has taken complete shelter. So Krishna is doing one thing, but according to how you relate to Krishna, you get a different effect from him raising his eyebrows. If you're a devotee, it's very pleasing when Krishna raises his eyebrows at you. But if you're a non-devotee, it means you're finished, like Shiva doing his dance of destruction. So Birijan Prabhu had a nice comment about the eyebrows, that it's very effortless to lift your eyebrows. It's very easy. You can do it 100 times a day. So it's for Krishna to destroy everything, it's not very difficult. He just has to wink his eye or lift his eyebrows or look at somebody to create and expand his eyebrows to destroy. And it's all being done by his devotees like Lord Shiva, these things. So time personified, Lord Shiva, Yamaraj, these are the ones who everybody's afraid of. So why are devotees not afraid? Why don't they approach the devotees, Yamaraj and Lord Shiva? What's that? Why doesn't time personified approach the devotees? Hare
Krishna?
Okay. So all the activities of the devotee are beyond time. So therefore time, they have nothing to do with time, actually. Yes. Yes, Madhavan Puri. Ayuharati vaipunsam udyan ashantasya asau. Syarte yakshanonita utamash sokavata. Yes. Yes. The sun does not destroy their life, take away from their duration of life. Yes. Yamaraj and Shiva are devotees. Well, that's another reason. Yes, Yamaraj, he was sitting in the assembly. The sages of Naimisharanya called him for Bhagavat, for Kirtan and Bhagavat discourse. So Yamaraj was there, so therefore they didn't have to worry about anything. And Lord Shiva, he's here. He's instructing us in devotional service to the Lord. He's sitting under his banyan tree, and he's always instructing Narada for Kumaras. We heard that in previous chapters, the beginning, that he was sitting there, and the four Kumaras were there, Kuvera was there, Narada, they were all listening to Lord Shiva's discourses and devotional service. So he has a very nice relationship with the devotees, Lord Shiva and Yamaraj. And Yamaraj, remember when he incarnated 5,000 years ago, he was Vidura, and he was the best friend of the Pandavas. So just imagine, here we have Yamaraj, he's your best friend of the devotees. He was always trying to protect them. Everyone else, he's in charge of taking away their life, but with the Pandavas, he was protecting them. He was protecting the devotees. So this is the difference in relationship. If you have a relationship with Krishna, then all the demigods become your friends. So at the end of this purport, Prabhupada explains a little bit about Yamaraj. We'll read that. When Yamaraj, the superintendent of death, was instructing his assistants, he told them not to approach the devotees. Devotees should be offered respect, he said, but do not go near them. Thus, the devotees of the Lord are not under the jurisdiction of Yamaraj. Yamaraj is a representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he controls the death of every living entity. Yet he has nothing to do with the devotees. Simply by blinking his eyes, time personified can destroy the entire cosmic manifestation. But he has nothing to do with the devotee. In other words, devotional service, which is rendered by the devotee in this lifetime, can never be destroyed by time. Such spiritual assets remain unchanged, being beyond the influence of time. What verse in Bhagavad Gita supports this? Neha vikramana shosti patyavaya vijate svapamapyasa dharmasya trayate mahatovaya. This greatest fear does not hamper the activities of the devotee. And that is also repeated, like at the beginning of the purport, about four lines down. Prabhupada says, however, all the strength of time cannot hamper the activities of a devotee. For a devotee takes complete shelter under the lotus feet of the Lord. For this reason only is a devotee free from formidable time. So not only is he free from time at the time of death, but also even during this lifetime, his activities, as somebody pointed out, I think Adi Purusha, that whatever he does is transcendental and beyond time. So time, therefore, then time cannot stop his activities. And we could see that with Srila Prabhupada. He was way beyond time in his activities. Nobody could do what he did. He would be traveling, he would get no sleep, and he would just start a schedule right where he picked up whatever time he landed in some place. He would pick up his schedule. Even if he had no sleep the whole night, it was 4 o'clock in the morning, he'd start translating. He'd start his japa. So this is the example of a devotee being beyond time. Any other examples you can think of somebody who is beyond time? Six Goswamis, Raghunath Das Goswami, they didn't sleep hardly. They hardly slept. And ate. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur? Yes. Yes. Rasa dance lasted a whole night of Brahma. I was thinking about that the other day. It was a whole night, so the whole universe changed. So I was trying to figure it out, but you can't figure it out. You see, either that time was within the same day, or else they went to the next day of Brahma. I was just having that thought. Anyway, and they had a whole new set of people in the universe. Anyway, can't figure it out. But the spiritual world, there is no time. I was just reading somewhere, if you're in past, present, and future, then that means you're it's a dream. Oh, yes, it's part of the verses. It's part of the verses. In the last verse of fourth canto. I think it's also coming up in Burijan's verses, too, isn't it? It's like a dream. I know, it's that 1A, 1B. Yeah, last verse in chapter 29. It's
the secret knowledge, the secret message of the Vedas. That experience of time, past, present, and future.
It's a dream. This is the last verse in chapter 29. Which verse is that?
It says the secret message.
85? No, it's B after 85. There's 1A, 2A. It's 2B, yeah? 2B. The secret understanding of the Vedas is that if there is anything within time, it's a dream. It's quite an interesting statement. Wake up. Wake up for your... Wake up and see Krishna. So we all know, we've heard so many times, and we've seen also here in Vrindavan, how death treats a devotee quite differently from a non-devotee. Even an imperfect devotee gets special treatment. We see, even if you've made mistakes in your life, even if you've gone away, even if you've done so many things, Krishna doesn't forget and Prabhupada doesn't forget you. So this should not encourage us to do crazy things, but it should give us hope that actually, despite all our imperfections, that if we're sincerely trying to please Krishna and Srila Prabhupada, then they will remember that. They will take us. So these are some of the lessons. Oh, there was one Mataji, my god sister. Can't remember her name right now. She left her body. She was in England, and she had a really, really hard time with devotees. She was always fighting. She was a very hard person to get along with. I can't remember her name actually now. And her friend was Harisari's wife, was her friend. So she was keeping in touch with her. And she knew she had this problem. And then she got cancer, and she also, the devotee who got sick, she felt like her cancer was due to this attitude of hers. But she couldn't do anything about it. She couldn't get rid of it. She couldn't change. But she was praying, and she was chanting, and she was trying. So then she left her body. And so her friend didn't know if she actually made it or not. So then 2 weeks later, after her death, she got a letter. It was a posthumous letter from her. And she said, actually, today, on the Shingadev's appearance day, at dusk, all the anarthas have gone from my heart. It was quite interesting. The exact time she knew. That this is exactly when it happened. And she became completely transformed. All the people around her said, but then her husband said, well, and they were thinking, well, maybe Krishna should have given her more time to stay. Now she's changed. But then her husband said, well, I don't think we'd be able to relate to her as she is now. She's so changed. So anyway, these things happen. That even a devotee who has some problems, who has some thing like that, Krishna helps, Prabhupada helps. So therefore, we have to keep ourselves in contact with Krishna. So let's see. Oh, another thing, when Srila Prabhupada, his relationship with time, another relationship, when actually another form of time is a universal form, as we see in Bhagavad Gita, that this very fearful form of time. So Srila Prabhupada in his life, he experienced this, he said, when the war was going on in Calcutta, they were dropping bombs. And he said, the bombs were falling, and I could see this is a form of Krishna. This is universal form, but it's not a very lovable form. So anyway, so devotees, they see time quite differently. Pure devotees see it quite differently than the way we see time. So Prabhupada, we heard, I think, in chapter 27 of fourth canto, Prabhupada is describing that if a person is Krishna conscious, he can work like a young man, even if he's 75 or 80 years old. So that was Srila Prabhupada's life. And I heard Brahmananda was speaking in Prabhupada's house last Sunday. And when Prabhupada first came to India, when he first came to India, that was Burijan, not Brahmananda. When he first came to India, how he was showing the devotees to do 6 engagements a day, like that. So he was beyond time. So this is another way a time cannot affect a devotee, is when you hit old age. And you think, me also, my son tells me all the time, what are you doing preaching? You're so old now, you should just retire and spend the whole day cooking for me. So anyway, devotee doesn't think like that. It doesn't matter how old he is. If Krishna gives him a service, then he tries to do it. So that was Prabhupada. Prabhupada, the age of 70, unheard of. Unheard of age, he started this movement. Yes. Christ only preached 3 years. Yes, 2,000 years after. Just see what 3 years of preaching did with Christ. And Prabhupada, I mean, he accomplished much more than Christ did in 10 years. It's all over the world and so quickly. So it will last 10,000 years, hopefully. It's what they... 5 times more. 10,000 years. Did he preach? Yes, he preached for 12 years. He was 65. Yeah. Well, he was preaching. Yeah. But it really started in 66. It started. Of course, he was preaching his whole life. He made back to Godhead in 1944. So this is Srila Prabhupada. There's a nice comment in this purport of 427.24. A couple of nice comments, so I'll just repeat them in case you forgot. That jara, the effect of old age, does not harass a devotee because he follows the instructions and determination of Narada Muni. And that means Pancha Chiki Viti and Bhagavad Viti. Then at the end of that purport, when jara, old age, takes shelter of a devotee, Kalakanya diminishes the devotee's fear. Devotee knows after death he's going back home, back to Godhead. Therefore, he has no fear of death. Instead of depressing a devotee, advanced age helps him become fearless and happy because he knows he's coming closer to Krishna every step. And this body is becoming more and more useless in one way. You can't serve Krishna that nicely. So therefore, he's happy because he'll get a new body to serve Krishna, either in the spiritual world or the material world. So verse 57. Now we'll hear the glories of the devotees, because where else are we going to get devotional service than from the devotees? And that's why Lord Shiva is going to glorify. Verse 57. Shanatenapitulaye nasargam napuna pavam bhagavasangi sangasya matyanam ke matashisha. Sound familiar? 118.13. Very familiar. A couple of lines are, three lines are the same practically. Three and a half. If by chance one associates with a devotee, even for a fraction of a moment, he no longer is subject to attraction by the results of karma or jnana. One interest then can he have in the benedictions of the demigods, who are subject to the laws of birth and death. So kshana, how long is a kshana? Fraction of a second. I don't know exactly. You can look it up in third canto. How much is a kshana? Anyway, it's very, very short. Not even a second of time. 1/14th? 1/40th. So just that much association with a devotee can give you perfection in life. Patri's not here today. Last year, I remember he was telling his stories. Well, I think it was Harikesh went to him and said, Hari Bol, and that was it. He woke up. That woke him up from his sleep of being a soldier in the Russian army. So this verse tells how a devotee becomes so fortunate that he associates with another devotee. So Srila Prabhupada's association was like that. That, as we heard, as we discussed before, just a glance from Srila Prabhupada was enough to start you in your spiritual life. It was enough to maintain you also. Just that glance maintained the devotees for their whole life in devotional service. So if you watch on the video these memories of the devotees, memories of Srila Prabhupada, a lot of those devotees we haven't seen for 20, 30 years. We haven't seen them. But then when they start talking about Srila Prabhupada, they transform. And they may have been doing so many things out in the material world. As soon as they start talking about Srila Prabhupada, they start crying, they start laughing. It just changes them. And that was the result of Srila Prabhupada's association. I met one god sister in Mayapur who also hasn't been around for a long time. And she was now living in a village. She married some villager, Indian villager, somewhere between Mayapur and Calcutta. She was living in a village in a hut or something. And she told me, I met her in the Ganga, I was bathing in the Ganga. She said, I can't follow any of the principles. I've fallen down more than 20 times, but all I know is I can't forget Srila Prabhupada. I just love him. So she kept that memory. That's the only thing she has left, practically, of her devotional service. And so that association is never lost. You can't forget Prabhupada. So I met another devotee. Of course, there are devotees who meet Prabhupada even after he left this world. There are devotees that are next generation. So I met a second generation in Mayapur devotee, and he said, before I met the devotees, I experienced everything in this world. He said, sex, drugs, astral traveling to other planets, believe it or not. He said, I was going to all the planets and seeing them. He said, but I went to the library, I was looking through all the philosophy books and nothing was satisfying me. Finally, I found the Bhagavatam and I read it. And he actually stole it from the library too. And he said, and he was reading the Bhagavatam, he said, oh, I've been to all those planets already. So then he became a brahmachari, brahmachari ashram. And he said, when I started chanting 16 rounds, following the four regative principles, I got much more taste than any of these other things that I did in my life. So this is quite interesting, that people who have done everything, seen everything in this world, they just come and start chanting Hare Krishna and following four great principles, and it's a higher, much higher taste. And so this is the power of even beginning devotional service in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada, when Prabhupada came to America, who knew? We didn't know about Krishna. We were just all like hippies. We didn't know the meaning of life. We were searching. A lot of us were searching, actually. But we didn't know anything. And he picked us up. And immediately, as soon as I came to the temple, I just lost my taste. I didn't want to go. After I stayed overnight in the temple, and that was it, I said, okay, goodbye to my husband, and became a devotee. So that's the taste that you get. Of course, Krishna gives you a very big taste when you first join, much bigger taste sometimes. Then you have to wait a while for a little taste here and there. So anyway, here in the purport of 57, Prabhupada says, out of three kinds of men, karmis, gyanis, and bhaktas, the bhakta is described herein as the most exalted. Śrīla Prabhupāda Saraswati has sung, Kaivalyam narakayate tidashapura kashpushpayate. The word kaivalya means to merge into the effulgence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anybody have that experience of merging into the effulgence of Krishna and coming back to tell everyone? Anyway, merging in the effulgence. Chidashapur refers to heavenly planets where the demigods live. For a devotee, Kaivalya Shuk, merging into the existence of the Lord, is hellish, because the bhakta considers it suicidal to lose his individuality and merge into the effulgence of Krishna, of Brahman. Actually, if you go into that state, you see it's very frustrating, because you can't relate. You can't do any service for Krishna. Another devotee who's living here, Nanda, she had that near-death experience also, and she left her body, and she was in the darkness, and the only thing she could see was she had a lotus flower in her hand, and she was wanting to offer it to Krishna. And then she was searching for Krishna to offer him the lotus flower. And then she came back to her body. Anyway, it's hellish. Merging in Brahman is hellish. A bhakta always wants to retain his individuality in order to render service to the Lord. Indeed, he considers promotion to the upper planetary systems to be no better than a will-o'-the-wisp. So we discussed this before. Does everybody remember what's a will-o'-the-wisp? English second language? A cloud?
In the swamp, there is some light, a spark.
Okay, in the swamp, there's a light, a spark. And you think it's something, but actually it's nothing.
And it wanders,
this light. So you go after the light, but actually it disappears. It's like a mirage, almost. Not exactly like a mirage. Or a flower in the sky. Yes. Flower in the sky, or horse's egg. Akash Pushpa, and the egg of a horse also, sometimes they say. Egg of a horse. Egg. Horses don't lay eggs. So these are what we're looking for in this world. This is the happiness. It's a flower in the sky, or it's a horse's egg, or it's a will-o'-the-wisp. That's the happiness of the heavenly planets where Indra is. So that is how the devotee sees it. That it's none different from the mirage in the desert, or the will-o'-the-wisp, or the flower in the sky, or the horse's egg. This is the happiness that we're looking for in the material world. Prabhupada says, temporary, material happiness holds no value for a devotee. Devotee is in such an exalted position, he is not interested in the actions of karma or jnana. The resultant actions of karma and jnana are so insignificant to a devotee, situated on the transcendental platform, he is not in the least interested in them. Bhakti yoga is sufficient to give the bhakta all happiness. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, yayatma supersedati. One can be fully satisfied simply by devotional service, and that is the result of association with a devotee. Without being blessed by a pure devotee, no one can be fully satisfied, nor can anyone understand the transcendental position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Any other verses besides? Yeah, you had something?
Not
okay. Any other verses on the supporting this one about association with devotees? Sadhusanga, sadhusanga, sadhusanga. Lavamatra, sadhusanga. Yeah, lavamatra, lava. Sarvasiddhi, goy, lava. How long is a lava? Another fraction of a second. Lava, kshana. These are all fractions of a second. What's that?
1/11.
Okay, we know what a lava. Lava is 1/11 of a second. Association with a devotee can give you perfection. These are so, yes.
I was
Yeah.
It's really not like that.
No? How do you know?
Because we go to places, we preach, and then we go away, and we don't maintain, it collapses.
Yeah, if we don't maintain, it collapses. Okay. Constant cultivation is required. Yeah, there's the other side of it, that we shouldn't think, okay, I'll just look at someone and that's it for the rest of their lives. Okay, I gave you a book, I looked at you, now, okay, you do the rest.
But actually, it doesn't go. We have seen that it's with so many books. And
yes.
Not much seems to happen.
Yes. Well, Prabhupada also once said, when there is huge book distribution and nothing seemed to be happening, he said they're like time bombs. Yes, in preaching. Of course, we're not exactly on the level of the pure devotee who just glances at someone and they start chanting Hare Krishna like that. Yes? Yes, it's not destroyed. It's just covered. That's another point. It's not really lost, but it's not it may not be growing. That's the point. He's making that it's not. You need to cultivate it. Yes.
It's true.
That's true. Yes, generally. We don't get the honorary degree so easily.
Exactly.
We don't.
So I wonder if that falls into the same category.
Okay, his question is, does this fraction of association, does this mean, shall we take it like, okay, it's maybe true in some cases, Adi Purush and then Prashanta?
There are many stories which demonstrate how sometimes this happens.
Many stories are there.
One classic story is they say it's about Ambarish Maharaj's brother who had pneumonia, but who was met by Narada Muni. And Narada Muni just told him, you want to kill Narada Muni right
there. Ambarish Maharaj's brother.
One of the versions of the story.
Acha.
And so Narada Muni told him that when you die, you ask, what is the value of one moment's association with the devotee?
Mm-hmm.
So then he died, and he went to Yamaraj, and Yamaraj wanted to throw him in hell. And then he asked, I'm sorry, I have a question. Can you please ask the answer, tell me, what is the value of one moment's association with the devotee? So Yamaraj started pondering and thinking and meditating, and said, no, we have to go to what Brahma asked him. So I can't rightly tell you the answer. And then they went to Brahma, same thing happened with Lord Brahma, they went to Shiva, and then Shiva took them to Lord Narayan. And Lord Narayan told them that just see what is the value of one moment of the most simple person, and now this is Vaikuntha. But Vaikuntha, there is no return.
Oh, very good. Very nice story. For all you CD listeners, we'll repeat the story that Adi Purush has told us about Maharaj Ambarish's brother. He was very sinful. When he met Narada Muni, he wanted to kill him. And Narada Muni said, well, when you die, you ask this question, what is the value of a moment's association with a pure devotee? So he was taken, when he died, he went to Yamaraj. He asked Yamaraj that question. Yamaraj couldn't answer. They went to Brahma. Brahma couldn't answer. He went to Shiva. Shiva couldn't answer. They went to Narayan in Vaikuntha, and Narayan said, just see the effect. This person was the most sinful, now he's in Vaikuntha. So therefore, he cannot go back, now he's in Vaikuntha. This is the effect of 1 second association, devotee. Prashanta.
Hello.
Association.
Association.
Wow.
In my life, association of God.
So very nice.
So the result is.
The result is that now we're here. So if we could see that, all the people who brought us to Krishna consciousness, Adi Purush. Another story? Okay, story time, no problem. We only have 2 more verses. So there was an alcoholic in Sochi, South Russia. Oh yeah, I think, didn't Patri tell it? Patri. Okay, but not everyone heard the story. Yeah, he told that in Bhagavatam class. You must not have been in that class. I heard that in Bhagavatam, I was there too. So I'll just tell the story. That this man was a really bad alcoholic. And, I can't remember it so well. he got the Ishopanishad. And one day he got an overdose. One day he got a really bad overdose and he fell unconscious. He was just laying for 3 days on the road.
He was dying.
Okay, and then
he saw
the Yamadutas coming to get him.
He became very scared.
He got really scared. Oh, then his glance fell on the Ishopanishad with the Anantashesh behind.
And
he saw the jewels on the head of Anantashesh were glittering from the book, Ishopanishad.
Glittering.
And he became absorbed in the picture in the book of Ishopanishad.
And
the Yamadutas couldn't touch him. And went away. So then he started running all around the city looking for the devotees. And he found them and he became a devotee quickly. Yes, Karun? Yes, devotional progress can be imperceptible also. Yeah, so the first person you met, the first was completely changed by that association. Right. We don't know what is the value actually. It's so valuable when you consider how many billions of people are in the world and who don't meet the devotee. Just what are the odds? Of course, now the odds are better. When Prabhupada first came, the odds weren't very great when Prabhupada was first here. Even now, the odds, of course, the odds are much better now. People know about Krishna. Anyway, these are the glories of the Association of Devotees. So hopefully, Sankirtan Prabhu will be a little bit more convinced. Yes, that's a pretty strong statement.
I mean, that sounds really, that's it.
It's very powerful.
So, wherever we go, in the book, that's it. We've done our job. It's
not no, it's not. We have to follow up. We have to preach.
Yes.
And then we get the credit.
Bring people up.
Yes, we have to do that.
I think that's more general pattern. This is true also, but this seems more exceptional.
Yes. Yeah, we pray, though, for that. But we can hope against hope for that. Association. That's yes, you forget. You have to hear every day there's no happiness in this material. Now, is everybody convinced now after Burijan's day after day after day? Do we believe there's no happiness in this material world? Unless you haven't already experienced it. Yes, well, by the time you hit 50, then you believe it. Because you can't, the body just doesn't obey you anymore. Doesn't do, even devotional service you can't do, even thinking of Krishna, it's very hard. So therefore we see the limitations of living in this material world and happiness in this material world. So verse 58, now this is actually probably the most central verse of all of his prayers. Because he's going to ask for a benediction now, Lord Shiva. He's praying to the Lord, he's been glorifying the Lord, he's been glorifying devotional service, and verse 58, he's going to ask for something. Atana kangres tava kirti chitaya anta pahisana vidrita papmanam udeshara krosha susata shirinam satsangamanu kahishanastama. My dear Lord, your lotus feet are the cause of all auspicious things and destroyer of all the contamination of sin. I therefore beg your lordship to benedict me by association of your devotees, who are completely purified by worshipping your lotus feet, and who are so merciful upon the conditioned souls. I think that your real benediction will be to allow me to associate such devotees. So what's the connection between Krishna's lotus feet and the devotees? Because here it seems to be something here. Your lotus feet are the cause of all auspicious things, so therefore I beg for association of your devotees. How does that therefore come here? What's the connection between the lotus feet? Yes. The Vedas. The aroma of the lotus feet is being transported by the wings of the Vedas.
And the clear-minded sages.
They capture it. They make their nest,
make nest.
In the Lord's lotus face. They're always searching after the Lord's lotus face.
3-5
something. Yeah. I can't remember it either at the moment in Sanskrit. Yeah, so anyway, this is the connection that the devotees are taking the saffron particles from his lotus feet, and they're coming out from their mouth. the mouth of the devotees through the sound. Through sound. Marganti ate mukhapadmani das. Sanda saparna. Yes. So this is the connection between the Lord's lotus feet and the devotees. And that's why he's praying for association of devotees. So by reading Bhagavatam, hearing Prabhupada's purports, we can learn why Krishna's lotus feet are so powerful and what are the qualities of his lotus feet. So why are his lotus feet so powerful? Why are Krishna's lotus feet very, very powerful to destroy ignorance? Yes. They're thunderbolts, yes. They destroy the mountain of sin in the heart of the devotee. And there is a thunderbolt on his lotus feet too. It may be that thunderbolt that destroys the mountain of sin. There's also lotuses there too that attract the mind, the bee-like mind of the devotee. These are some of the qualities. What makes it so powerful? Remember there's some verses, I can't remember if it was this year or last year, about the Lord says that, yes, I am Purush.
Because he's always worshipping the dust from the lotus feet of his devotees.
Yes, so what makes Krishna's lotus feet so powerful is Krishna is worshipping the dust of the lotus feet of his devotees. So then he says, by that, if I worship the dust of the lotus feet of my devotees, I get the power to purify the whole creation. I think it may be last year.
Third canto,
yes?
There's
some verses there.
Yeah,
I'm sure I quoted them. I can't remember them exactly now. I had them written down before. Third canto, maybe 16th chapter, when the Lord speaks to the Kumaras. Yes, Bani Malik.
He decided that the Lord wanted to bless him with his lotus feet. He told
Brahma.
I don't want your lotus feet. I want your devotee's lotus
feet. I want your devotee's lotus feet. Yes, and he says that to Durvasa also. He says, what to speak of my devotees, they are very dear to me, but even the devotee of my devotee, he is very dear to me, especially the devotee of the devotee. So that's the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Gopi, Bhartu, Parakamlayar, Das, Das, Anadas.
316, 7
and 9. Verses glorifying the power of the devotees. They give Krishna the power to purify the three worlds. So another 3, 16, 7, and 9. According to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, to take shelter of his lotus feet means to chant the holy names. That also we heard in third canto in some purports. That lotus feet, when you take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, it means you take shelter of hearing and chanting. This is the lotus feet of the Lord. So the highest benediction is to get association of devotees. Another point is that the devotees are always at Krishna's lotus feet, pure devotees. That's their place. They're at Krishna's lotus feet, worshipping Krishna. So that's why he is saying your lotus feet are the cause of all auspicious things, because the devotees are also there. The devotees are there at his lotus feet. Purport. Prabhupada says, the Ganga water is celebrated as being able to eradicate all kinds of sinful reactions. In other words, when a person takes his bath in the Ganga, he becomes free from all life's contaminations. The Ganga water is celebrated in this way because it emanates from the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Similarly, those who are directly in touch with the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and who are absorbed in chanting of his glories are freed from all material contamination. Such unalloyed devotees are able to show mercy to the common conditioned soul. Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur has sung, the devotees of Lord Chaitanya are so powerful that each one of them can deliver a universe. In other words, it is the business of devotees to preach the glories of the Lord and deliver all conditioned souls to the platform of Shuddha Sattva, pure goodness. So as Sankirtan says, we have to also deliver everyone. We must deliver everyone. Preach. Here the word Susattva means Shuddha Sattva, the transcendental stage beyond material goodness. By his exemplary prayers, Lord Shiva teaches us that our best course is to take shelter of Lord Vishnu and his Vaishnava devotees. So taking shelter of the lotus feet also means chanting the holy names of the Lord. So verse 59. What's that? Yeah. It's like the Ganga. Right, that's properly explained in the purport. That because the Ganga is in contact with the lotus feet of the Lord, therefore, that's the connection that of the, why the Ganga is powerful. So the devotees are connected with the lotus feet of the Lord. So therefore, they can purify the whole world. Yes, Vanamali. Yes?
Meaning of Prabhupada.
Meaning of Prabhupada, yes. We are all Prabhu's Sid.
So one of the meanings is that he's representing lotus feet of Prabhupada.
He's representing lotus feet of Prabhu. He is the lotus feet. Vishupada Prabhupada means another meaning is he's representing the lotus feet. Sankirtan. Right, not by prayaschitta and not by any other process.
Yeah.
And this is
that roots out the real
devotional service. So what are they going to do at the lotus feet? They're there. So some people, you know, they just go in front of the deity and sit, stay and stare the whole day. So that's nice. You're looking at the deity. Yeah. So, what's that? Yeah, right. That's what Prabhupada would say. Do something practical.
And that's yes.
In association of devotees. Yes. So, I mean, you can go to the spiritual world and become a tree. Just look at the Lord. And that's even sages, they do that. Sages come to, when Krishna has his pastimes in Vrindavan, and some sages come and sit as birds or as trees just to watch the pastimes of the Lord. But, yes, they watch the pastimes. Meditate. Kalparviksha, yes. Of course, the trees in Vrindavan are not ordinary. They also do seva. They also do seva.
But unless there's a service, even the shatras, just looking at the relationship.
Yes, we have to go beyond shantaras. And it's hard for those who have the conditioning of the yogic conditioning of meditation and just meditating. You just want to meditate. And you can just stare. And you know, to do something active is a little difficult if you have that kind of conditioning. Mode of goodness, sometimes it's difficult to be active. As Abhirajan said, there is a similarity between goodness and ignorance in one sense. That hard to be motivated to act sometimes. If you're too satisfied in the mode of goodness, in the mode of ignorance, it's, you're just helpless. You can't. There's nothing you can do. But in the mode of goodness, sometimes you're not helpless, but so you're lazy maybe. Sometimes. Okay, verse 59. Nayasachitam bhagarata vipamam tamokuhayam chavishur tamavisha yabhaktiyagana vihitamandasa. The devotee whose heart has been completely cleansed by the process of devotional service and who is favored by Bhakti Devi does not become bewildered by the external energy, which is just like a dark well. Being completely cleansed of all material contamination in this way, a devotee is able to understand very happily your name, fame, form, activities, etc. So I was reading from Bhajan Rahasya yesterday, I think, and it's very interesting. They quote the verses of Vyasadeva's vision. So this is an example of being favored by Bhakti Devi. He linked his mind in Bhakti Yoga, and then he got the vision of Krishna, and behind Krishna was the external energy, which is like a dark well, and he saw the living entities who are bewildered. And he understood also what is the solution, and that is anarto pashamam sakshad bhakti yoga mahoksaje, that the only solution is devotional service. And being completely cleansed, then you can understand the name, fame, and form. So one comment in the Bhajan Rahasya was that this vision of Vyasadeva, he was actually, to describe his meditation, he was in a trance of the holy name when he got this vision. So this is quite interesting. He was chanting the holy name, and then he got this vision of Krishna. So this, when I read this, it struck me. So we're waiting for this time, then we will be favored by Bhakti Devi in the heart. The internal energy will descend, and we'll understand what is our relationship with Krishna. And the way to do this is by chanting the holy name of Krishna. And all these wonderful results are due to association of devotees. And this Prabhupada stresses in the purport. Satam pasangam mamavir samhita bhavanti vikarnara sayana katha tajashana rasha pavarka bhakvani sharara chivakti anukamishti. Simply by association of pure devotees, one can understand the transcendental name, fame, quality, and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has repeatedly said, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Shastakar, Lavavaj Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sivihar. Simply by associating with a pure devotee, one becomes wonderfully advanced in Krishna consciousness. Sadhu Sangha, or association with a devotee, means always engaging in Krishna consciousness by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra and by acting for Krishna. So this is the formula we have to chant. And then we'll get, Bhakti Devi will descend in our heart. So which verse of Bhagavad Gita explains that this point, acting and also chanting, it's not directly explains it, but explains it. Yes, tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mam anusmara yudhyacha. Because anusmara means chanting, actually, chanting Hare Krishna. How else are we going to remember Krishna in this age of Kali? 8.7, Bhagavad Gita. Or Krishna is telling Arjuna that you think of me and fight. Think of me and fight. So here Prabhupada is saying, you chant Hare Krishna and act for Krishna. Specifically, chanting Hare Krishna mantra purifies one. And this chanting is therefore recommended by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaita Darpana Marjanam. By chanting the names of Krishna, the mirror of the heart is cleansed, and devotee loses interest in everything external. When one is influenced by the external energy of the Lord, his heart is impure. When one's heart is not pure, he cannot see how things are related to the Supreme Personality of God. Idam hi vishvam bhagavan ivetaro. He whose heart is purified can see the whole cosmic manifestation is but the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he whose heart is contaminated sees things differently. So it's all according to vision. Therefore, by satsanga, or association with devotees, one becomes perfectly pure in heart. So Burijan Prabhu asked a question when he was giving class on this verse. He said, how is this floor related to Krishna? The floor. Yes. Bhumirano. Yes. Bhumirapo nalovayukam anobhidurevacha. The floor. Yes. Okay, if you make an offense to the holy name lifts you. So if you fall on the floor in front of the holy name, the floor helps you to get up. Okay, this is an analogy here. Bona fide analogy by. Okay. Okay, these are verses after puja. Please forgive me for all my offenses. So in that way, the floor is related to Krishna. So we have to follow that point. Then the next question is, how is the person who insulted you related to Krishna? Who made you angry, who offended you? He's your teacher. Part and parcel of Krishna. Yes, so he's related to Krishna. He's the energy of Krishna. Aparayam, yes?
He's pointed out my offenses that I've committed to him so that he has wanted to offend me.
Okay, he's pointed out the offenses I've committed to him.
And what, so that he has wanted to offend me.
So therefore he's wanted to offend me. Okay. So these, we have, the devotee sees how everything is related to Krishna. Everything he sees, everything around him. His vision is quite different, and the vision of most people in this world is, how is everything related to me? How is it, we go in the temple, someone steps on my foot, oh, how is everything related to, how will I get through this crowd to see the deities? Will I take Charanamrita today? You know, anyway, so we're the center, oftentimes, even though we're devotees of Krishna. So it's hard to change our vision. That's what our whole thing is about here. So let's see what Prabhupada says here. One who is pure in heart, this is paragraph 2, is never attracted by the external energy which urges the individual soul to try to dominate material nature. So if someone praises him, he thinks, It's not my doing, it's Krishna's doing. So Prabhupada says later, a little bit down, he talks about the 64 offenses one can commit while worshipping the deity, avoiding the 10 offenses. When a devotee strictly follows the rules and regulations, Bhakti Devi becomes very much satisfied with him, and at that time he is never disturbed by anything external. So we'll know when Bhakti Devi is pleased with us. Devotee is also called a muni. The word muni means thoughtful. A devotee is as thoughtful as a non-devotee is speculative. So that's an interesting statement. The devotee is thoughtful. Why? What is the non-devotee's speculation is impure, but a devotee's thoughts are pure. Lord Kapila and Shukadeva are also called muni, and Vyasadeva is Mahamuni. A devotee is addressed as muni, or thoughtful, when he purely understands the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Conclusion is, when one's heart is purified by association of devotees and by avoidance of offenses committed when chanting and worshipping the Lord, the transcendental name, form, and activities of the Lord are revealed by the Lord. So this is important for us to understand. We may be thinking, well, why am I not seeing Krishna? Why am I not getting some realization? So here is what you need. When one's heart is purified by association and avoiding offenses committed when chanting or worshipping the Lord, then we get revelation. This is what Prabhupada is saying. You want Bhakti Devi to come in your heart. So these are the things. We have to chant in Namabhas. We have to chant in the clearing stage. Avoid the offenses and worship, serve the devotees, associate with devotees. So any other verses support the importance of this, what we've heard today, association of devotees. Verses, so many verses. If you can't think of one, yes, Adi, you have one. Tavidhi paripatena paribhashena sevaya. Very, very simple verses are there. Bhagavad Gita actually has everything. I was reading Bhagavad Gita, I was reading Krishna book, and also I was comparing Krishna book to the translation by our devotees who quote from the Acharyas. There's one very wonderful verse in the Prayers of Personified Vedas, verse 25, where our devotees who have translated, they have a huge purport, and it describes all the six darshans and how Vyasadeva defeats the different darshans. And then I was reading Krishna book, and I was reading what Prabhupada was saying about this. And Prabhupada was defeating all the six darshans with just a verse from Bhagavad Gita. He would take a different verse from Bhagavad Gita and defeat each one of the six darshans. I thought that was very nice. Just to compare, it's quite interesting. Yes? Yes, where is that from? Hirani Kashyapu says that. Hiranyaksha was died. Sixth canto. Seven. Yes, that's also in Hitopadesh. It's your association. You're just like a crystal and you reflect your association. Association is so important. Okay, so we'll stop here. Any questions, comments? Tulayama Lavenapi. Spoken by Shonaka Rishi. Yes, very nice question. How come Lord Shiva is speaking the verse when Shonaka spoke it?
Lord Shiva speaks it first.
Okay, well, Sankirtan is saying Sutta might have heard the verse, but how did Shonaka know the verse that Lord Shiva must have said it before?
Yeah, and sequence,
yes, because he was way before. Yes. It's also in four. We're going to hear it again. It's common knowledge. Like Bhagavad Gita. Who spoke it? That in 4:30 it must be.
Exactly.
Yeah, who's speaking it there? The Prachetas or?
Prachetas
are speaking. Of course, they heard it from Lord Shiva. They heard it. They're hearing it now. Yeah. Well, how did he get the exact Sanskrit? That's the question. Yes. Yeah, it's quite. I mean, a few words have changed. Yeah, it's Prajetas heard it from Shiva, so they're going to speak it. Yeah. Anyway, I would say it's common knowledge. There are a lot of verses that are, like in Kapiladeva's teachings, there are similar verses in Bhagavad Gita. You know, you see the similarity between Kapila and Bhagavad Gita. There's some verses almost verbatim, Bhagavad Gita. So it appears that the knowledge was there even in the Sanskrit. And they were aware of the knowledge, but they just, all the sages just needed association of a pure devotee in order to progress. They had seems they did have the knowledge, a lot of them.
That's why Krishna says that this knowledge appears to be lost.
Yeah, it appears to be lost. Right. Shonaka spoke a lot. Shonaka spoke a lot of nice verses. You know, that Ayur Harati Vaipunsam you quoted. Yeah. Yeah, they were learned. They had the philosophy. But we see in Krishna book, they didn't know who was the Supreme Lord at one point. They had to send Bhrigu to test who's the Supreme Lord. I mean, that would seem like obvious knowledge. You know, who's the Supreme?
Like a dream, so saying people probably shouldn't be rolled down to the pit, but they couldn't make out.
Right. Yeah, Atri. Yeah. Another example is Atri. He called for the Lord, three of them came. He didn't know who was Supreme. So, yes. Yes, gallons of blood. But then also in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's the same analogy of the seed of bhakti planted in the heart. And then we have to become the gardener and we have to cultivate the plant by chanting and hearing. So that analogy is there also.
It may be cultivated by other people. One moment you get the seed and then the person will look for devotees and start looking for life from there.
And the seed will, yes, then he starts searching for devotees. Okay, any other comments or questions? No? All glories to Srila Prabhupada.